Carmina Burana ranks up there with Beethoven's Fifth as a perennial favorite among concertgoers. But Carl Orff's famous piece has inspired countless other artists to produce their own versions, from the death metal group Therion to rappers Nas and Puff Daddy. To the electronica artist FCB. Conductor Maren Alsop has a new recording of Carmina Burana with the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra on the Naxos label. Maestro Alsop takes over as music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra next year. Earlier, she spoke with Scott Simon about this music.
Are there signatures from Carmina Burana that pop up in music over the years?
This has to be probably the best-known 20th century piece because it's been excerpted to sell everything from cars to aftershave. It's amazing what kind of associations people make for this piece. Mm-hmm. And actually, something I'd love to do is just go around and play the opening, the O Fortuna, for people and see what image it evokes, because I think some people would see themselves, driving in a certain brand of car, where others would see themselves, putting on a certain type of lingerie. Who knows?
Mm. How would you describe this piece, Carmina Burana?
It's a spectacle. It's very hard to categorize. And that was Orff's intent, really. He wanted it to be a piece for all of the senses, to hear the voice, to hear the words, to experience this enormous orchestra, two pianos. And also it was envisioned to have a dance element and a theater element as well.
Let's listen, if we could, to the opening section, O Fortuna. How does this set the scene for what follows?
Well, the enormity of this opening is so spectacular, isn't it? And it's all about fate and fortune and how that impacts our lives. And also the hushed quality after this enormous opening. Suddenly, let me tell you a secret, come closer.
The poems were discovered in an abbey near Munich in the early part of the 20th century. They were written by defrocked monks and minstrels, I'm told.
There's a little bit of a controversy about who actually wrote the body of these poems. It might have been some young people studying, about to go into the monastery. And I think from the text, one could definitely get that sense, because so much of the text deals with the things that they're about to give up. Lust and drinking and all the really incredibly good things in life that they're about to give up. So I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
The work is divided into three parts, titled Spring, In the Tavern, and Love.
Everything that's important in life is in this piece. There you go.
Some of the songs are a little colorful, even by today's standards.
Yes, I would say colorful. But of course, when things are in Latin, the X-rated element almost gets elevated to a new level.
Yes.
If I could put all of my swearing in Latin, I think that would definitely elevate my life.
There are paeans in this work to the tavern life.
I think the word excess probably captures this piece. And I think that, again, draws people in because there's something about talking about the excesses in life and the edges that is very appealing.
Let's listen, if we could. For those of us who have not been to the Abbey, what is he saying, Maestro?
Estuans interius. That translates into burning inside. So that just gives you a little burning inside with violent anger, you know. And this is all about, it's really hard to talk about on the radio, I must say. One of the spectacular dimensions to Carmina Burana is these amazing solos, you know, for the baritone, who's this hunky kind of masculine guy that you just heard. And then we have the tenor, who depicts the swan on a spit, you know, his dying days. And so the range for the tenor is enormously high in a falsetto voice. And then there's a gorgeous soprano who sings higher than one thinks possible. So again, it's about extremes and excess.
In other words, you don't want to say that she sings high, but the dogs in the audience are driven wild by that performance.
It's sort of on the edge of dog land. It's almost leaping from a complete standstill to the top of a building. That's what she has to do, and it's spectacular. The words to Dulcissime, sweetest one, I give myself to you totally.
Was Orff influenced by the works of any other composers?
He's combining so many different stylistic elements. We hear Stravinsky in it in these cross rhythms and when the two pianos get going. And at the same time, we can hear really the monks in the monastery, elements of Gregorian chant. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many different varieties of musical styles that come into play. I think that's actually what gives it part of its appeal, mm-hmm. because it's got something for everyone.
Let me ask you about a section called Veni, Veni.
You hear in this piece the Stravinsky rhythms, and this idea of using two pianos is quite unusual. And
now they sound like they're trying to convince somebody of something.
Yes, well, I mean, the literal translation, veni, 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 as come, come, oh come. So it's all about enticement, and so I think it definitely is this trying to lure people in.
Karl Orff went from being known as a music educator to the composer of Carmina Burana. And although he wrote lots of other music, as I understand it, he is forever identified pretty much as the composer of Carmina Burana. But was that uncomfortable for him? Did he say, you know, I did write a few other things too?
Well, it's this desire of the public to identify and really categorize people. Ironically, he wrote several other Carmina-like pieces. There are three of them in a trilogy, mm-hmm. and the other two people don't know at all. So maybe that's going to be my one of my goals, to get people to know, to celebrate the three different Carminas.
Maestro, good to talk to you again.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Maestro Maren Alsop, who takes over next year as conductor of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, speaking with Scott Simon. This last song from Carmina Burana is a love song called In Trutina. For more on Carmina Burana, visit our website at npr.org.